It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yeah.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host...
Chris Lloyd and Joe Shearer. That's right. Good afternoon. It is the Friday the 13th edition of Film Yap Radio, sometimes also called Film Sociology. I'm Joe Shear, and we have a lot of guests today. Of course, Christopher Lloyd is not a guest. He's our esteemed co-host, as am I.
Co-conspirator.
We're co-leads in this. We're not... There is no top billing, right?
That makes it sound like we're dating, though.
moving on, we have Lisa Trifone from the Indianapolis International Film Festival.
Hello.
And we have Ed Johnson Ott from New Boat News Weekly.
Howdy.
And this is a great little panel we have going on here, isn't it?
It is. It is.
We are great. We are collectively great.
You're the who's who of movies right here.
I think we actually have another one coming, a surprise phantom, perhaps silent guest.
Yeah, he'll be silent. He will not be Silent Bob. He'll be Silent, what is his name?
AJ.
Silent AJ, who probably won't be speaking. He's an intern, so we'll probably kick him and make him go fetch his coffee.
If you can't have the intern do it, who can?
Right? Yeah, exactly right. Lisa is here, of course, because the Indianapolis International Film Festival, which you guys have kind of given a more unofficial, shortened version of the Indie Film Fest now.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And why don't you tell us just a little bit about this festival?
Absolutely. We are super excited. The 9th annual festival is coming up. I know, right? The 9th festival comes up July 19th through the 29th. We kick off with a screening of a Toronto International Film Festival selection called The Oranges at the IMA. Followed by a party at Sun King Brewing. And then from there, it's 10 days of over 110 films. This is the third year that I've programmed the film festival, and it's the biggest one that I've ever done. It's 40 feature films and 75 short films and all kinds of parties and panels in between. So,
and in the interest of full disclosure, I think we should say, if I've got it right, all three of us here are actually jury judges, isn't that right?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's correct.
Well, I think you've just been, Ed, you've been reviewing.
I'm just reviewing.
For okay. press.
But you've been a judge in the past, though.
I don't know.
You've just been judgmental.
It's been so many years in so many film festivals. You know, that if somebody calls up and says, will you judge our festival, I usually say okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't remember if I did that with these guys or not. I know the Gay Film Festival I did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the Underground Film Festival. I think I might have done them mm-hmm. once. I'm not sure.
Okay. The 48-hour Film Festival. I get roped into that one a lot.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. We've done that. How many? You didn't do it last year, did you?
I didn't. I was actually on a trip. I was away out of town that week, so I skipped a week.
And we're on the critics panel, aren't we? Coming
yes,
up.
for the Indie Film Fest, we should mention that. I believe that is on the Sunday, the 22nd.
Yeah, at 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be there, but I have prior engagements, and I had to cancel. I was really bummed about that. It's my daughter's birthday party, though. And we couldn't switch it around.
That's always a really fun conversation, though, because I know you guys have been a part of that for a couple years now. The audience members that come out, I think, really appreciate the perspective of, like, the mm-hmm. way that you guys watch films and mm-hmm. what they can bring to the theater mm-hmm. to be a little bit more proactive, even.
Plus, they all bring their own tomatoes. So
yes, and that's the fun part.
quite often, some of the filmmakers of the films you will see in the festival attend that, and that makes for a good back and forth, especially if I've given a bad review to one of their movies.
I was going to say, they don't bring tomatoes, they bring brass knuckles.
And if you're coming, get there early because, and talk early, because here's what happens. There's like, I don't know, 7 or 8 of us on the panel, we start yapping back and forth. The audience is very timid on asking questions until the first or second person does it, then all then everybody starts rolling, and all of a sudden the hour's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very frustrating. It should be 2 hours.
And I think that's a great point, though. Like, what we talk about is the reason that we exist and do what we do and bring all these films in such a short period of time. We exist to create a shared experience around film, and that's what, like, we always try to tell people is that's what you'll get when you come out to the festival. And whether it's a movie screening that then you go hang out at the festival lounge and talk about the film you just saw, or you come to a panel and you get to interact with mm-hmm. critics and filmmakers or whomever, I mean, you're doing so much more than just walking in, grabbing a ticket, and sitting in a dark theater.
Yeah.
And do I have it right? The IMA is where you're having it again this year?
So it's at the IMA, and then we're excited this year. We've got a new partnership with Earth House downtown.
Cool.
And so we're doing evening screenings starting on Monday the 23rd. We'll do screenings at Earth House. Insider tip, the way that it's kind of been programmed is the films that screen at about 8 o'clock on those weeknights are kind of the festival imports, if you will. It's the films that have come in from, like, Sundance and South by Southwest and Tribeca, so you can sneak over to Earth House and see those. And then closing night will be at Earth House also. It's a film called Somebody Up There Likes Me.
I watched that earlier today.
Yeah.
That was the very first film I watched for the festival. I just happened to be at the one I picked at random and stuck in was the closing night film.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a fun one. It's a Austin filmmaker. He's made a few kind of under the radar, but this one's got Nick Offerman in it. It's this quirky, dry, raw kind of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think Nick Offerman is also a producer on the film.
Yeah, this is Nick Offerman from Parks and Recreation.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Ron effing Swansea.
Right. And we should also talk about the opening night film, which is, I believe, called The Oranges. Is that right?
Yes, The Oranges. And so that is, it's this sort of random star-studded cast of Hugh Laurie and Allison Janney and Catherine Keener, Oliver Platt and Leighton Meester and Alia Shawkat, who's from Arrested Development, and Adam
right.
Brody. I mean, it's like, okay, I know all of those people. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, it was a Toronto National Film Festival selection in the fall. It'll be out then this fall, but we're excited to do kind of an exclusive screening. It's sort of this story of two families kind of cross the street, neighbors, and some lines get crossed and some hilarity ensues and awkwardness ensues, but it's a really sharp comedy. It's a fun one to kind of kick things off. So.
And that's Thursday the 19th at that
Thursday
place.
The 19th.
And I do believe that Kobe Slagle, producer extraordinaire, has managed to run down a clip of The Oranges.
Oh, fantastic.
So we can give you a little flavor of the Indie Film Fest.
Look, what happened last night was a mistake, okay?
Oh, you're right. Relax, okay? It was nothing. And you stopped it. You're absolved. Hello in there? Is there anyone in there?
You just have to instigate trouble.
I do not instigate trouble.
Well, okay. Well, then why'd you come to dinner tonight?
Toby invited me. And now that we're talking about instigators, you leaned into me.
I leaned into you. I did not lean
yes,
in.
Yes, you did.
You leaned into me.
What?
Oh, he said, she said.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea where that came from.
Not instigating.
All right, that's The Oranges. And just a little brief clip.
Hugh Laurie in a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Who doesn't love that?
Yeah, he did. What was the one he did with Keanu Reeves a few years back? Street Kings or something like that? That was the bad cop movie.
Well, so that's the thing, right? Is that that's what I've seen is a guy like Hugh Laurie, he's not doing a lot of films. Mm-hmm. And all of these names, it's just a passion project. It's just a fun, under-the-radar little indie comedy.
So does he break out the fake English accent, or does he use his real American accent?
Wait, scratch that. Wait.
So tell us a little bit about, I know you guys, for the purposes of the judging, you guys break things up into different categories. Could you tell me, just walk us through the different categories and give us a little flavor of what people can...
Yeah, how it works. Absolutely. Yeah. So we are all about bringing, you know, the new, the different experiences, the different films. So the way that we break it down to kind of make it consumable, if you will, is we screen in really four categories, maybe three and a half if you're getting technical. But one is American Spectrum, and so those are domestic films that you'll have seen, you know, throughout the year or whatever, made here in the States. Within that, and sort of on its own, this year in particular, we do a Hoosier Lens category. So we want to balance recognizing the filmmaking that's going on here in town and people that are Hoosiers making films with everything else that we bring in. So we've got three great, really strong feature films in the Hoosier Lens category this year. We do a whole slate if you're a documentary fan, if you stay up late watching like Frontline like I do. We've got a whole slate called Matter of Fact that are our documentaries. Mm-hmm. And then we've got World Cinema, which kind of encompasses all the narratives from all over the world. So you can really use those as your guide to sort of say, I want to see something from abroad, and then kind of dig in and see, okay, in this category. And then within each of those, we've got both feature length and short films. So that's the other fun experience, is that you can buy a ticket to a shorts program and see 8, 9, 10 different films in one sitting for your $10 ticket.
Yeah, and I can say as a jurist of the documentaries, there is a good selection of documentaries this year, including some that are really kind of even targeted toward film buffs, a couple about film, actually.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
A very, very good one. Keanu Reeves narrates it, very slickly done, you know, and all that. But it goes into the comparison of, it's called Side by Side. It goes into the comparison of digital versus film and kind of how that transition is happening. It's really interesting, especially if you're like I was. I'm familiar with the
yep.
two, but it really gets in depth, and it's like, these are the real differences. This is really what this is what film does that digital can't. This is what digital does that film can't. And it's not one-sided in either way. It kind of really is a good breakdown of the whole situation.
No,
yeah,
no.
But this is the second time you've mentioned Keanu Reeves in the last 3 minutes. So how do we know this isn't because you're buddies with him?
Well, I'm going to watch Point Break as soon as we leave here.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll probably watch it again after I'm done. So,
wow.
Keanu must have a lot of free time on his hands.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to make a lot of movies lately.
I don't think he has to, and I think he's one of those guys that decides to use the money to go have fun.
He's too busy cashing his checks from The Matrix to make any more movies.
So. That could be, but he's one of those guys, he intrigues me a little bit in that I want to know, is he like a super duper, you know, genius, and like he's just way smarter than his public persona?
Whoa.
Or I suspect that he is about at that level and doesn't want to advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
At the level we perceive him.
I don't know.
That's a nice way of putting it.
I think maybe he's kind of done, you know, so he's, instead of sticking around.
What is
around
he, like, 45 years old? I'm going to be done
he's
at 45.
Close,
well, maybe just with movies. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
He's
actually
not done with laying around his house and
way to turn on
playing
your buddy,
World of Warcraft. I mean,
he's just stepping away. He's pursuing other interests.
Well, he's
right
doing
now.
Narrations for
did,
movies.
Did he call you and tell you, Joe? He's pursuing other interests.
Yes, he did.
When
yeah.
they were surfing.
Right.
He is still surfing. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was a judge, proud to be a judge this year. I think I was in documentaries last year, and I was in the American Spectrum category this year. I will say, I think this was like my fifth year in a row as a judge. I will say the American Spectrum was very strong this year.
Oh, wonderful.
The first two films I watched, I was just blown away by, and I was like, wow, the bar has really been set high. And, you know, unfortunately, the rest of the movies weren't quite as good, but they were very, overall, very, very strong films. I saw many movies that I liked, and I saw several films that I loved. So
that's wonderful. Thank
now,
you.
I know, Lisa, that as, the official person, you can't like play favorites or anything, but can you maybe pick, you know, a couple or three or four movies out that just stood out for you, not necessarily as your favorites, but just as being distinctive or different or bold in some way?
Maybe must-sees.
Yeah. What's been great is that I've been able to talk so much about the festival that I've been able to kind of spread the love. So you're right. I can't. I don't have children, but I imagine it's like someone saying, pick your favorite.
No.
That you can't really do it. But there are several that sort of stuck with me or that I think that people will be surprised by. We do the best that we can to work with the filmmakers to encourage them to send in their press screeners and make sure that you guys can see them and all that. And sometimes it's more difficult to get those. One that I don't think that you guys have had the chance to see is a film called Without, that's in the American Spectrum category. And it's about a young woman who takes a part-time job or takes a temporary job, I should say, to be a caretaker of an elderly man on a kind of a remote island. And it's a slow burn, and it's very character driven. There's not a lot of dialogue, but there are some very awkward and uncomfortable things that happen over the course of about 90 minutes, where you're the whole time scratching your head, and you have no idea where this motivation is coming for this young woman to be acting in these very strange ways with ultimately a stranger. And there is a singular scene about 5 minutes before the end that, for me at least as a film lover, the resolution, I mean, in that moment, it was done. You know, I just knew this was one that if you can invest enough to go on this journey and are okay scratching your head for a little bit, the payoff is phenomenal. The acting, the moment, the writing is a great one. That one's Without in the American Spectrum category.
Really?
Yeah. What else? There's so many charming ones. There's one called Man Without a Cell Phone. That's a Palestinian film, I believe, in the world cinema. I love all of our documentaries. We've got Andrew Bird, Fever Year, which if you're a music fan, I know we've got such a strong music scene in town that it's sort of concert footage. He's actually going to be mm-hmm. in Indy in like December, I want to say, so you can come out and see the movie with us. So I don't know. What's exciting for me is hearing you guys talk about it, having seen a lot of them, and we were mentioning before we went on air about, you know, we know that most of our audience, they'll come out to just one or two films over the course of 10 days. You're going to love whatever you see. You're going to see something different. It's going to be something that's not in theaters this weekend and probably won't be ever, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'll enjoy it.
If you're an adventuresome film goer, I would strongly recommend An Oversimplification mm-hmm. of Her Beauty. And Chris wouldn't.
We were just
which is the beauty of the art of film.
Yes, we were just discussing that that particular film before we came on the air, and there was a divergence amongst friends, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris was wrong.
he's like that sometimes.
Yeah. We should maybe mention before we talked about the opening night film, maybe we should mention before we close the book on the film festival, the closing night film is a movie called Somebody Up There Likes Me, mm-hmm. which is also the name of a 1956 movie starring
Paul Newman,
as a boxer, was one of his first big roles, I think, in the 1950s. Was that before Cat on a Hot Tin Roof or
I
after?
I think so. I think it was before.
Yeah, I think that I think that was one of the, and I actually wrote a recent column about it for my Look Back film column, Reeling Backward, on the Film Map, so you can go look up to see what we said about that movie. But you want to tell us a little bit about this new movie called also called Somebody Up There Likes Me. It is not a boxing movie.
It is not. It is far from it. This is one with a there are a few exceptions at the film festival that we go out there and we just discover these gems that we want to bring to Indianapolis. And this is the case with Somebody Up There Likes Me. I actually got to see this one at South by Southwest in Austin. It was a local premiere there. He's an Austin filmmaker. And it's just unlike, I think, Chris, you'll agree, unlike anything you'll see on the screen at this year's festival. It's inventive. It's imaginative. It's got some really great narrative devices. It's funny. It's grown up. You know, it's smart. It doesn't kind of play down to you or anything. But it's the story of one man, and it kind of follows him over the course of his life and the awkward decisions that he makes and the good decisions, bad decisions, indifferent, and kind of how they impact the course of his life and all the people that he touches.
Yeah. It kind of is a boxing movie in that most of the characters get boxed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. It's a very hard movie to say, well, it's like this movie because
right.
it's not really – but there's certain parts of, like, the tone that's maybe – I'm trying to think of movies like Little Big Man with Dustin Hoffman or even Forrest Gump, the sense of over a period of a certain mm-hmm. amount of time, someone who has sort of different adventures and gets in situations and sort of seems to sort of float through them and not be impacted. But then, of course, you realize what the impact has been.
Yeah. Something I loved was that they didn't do makeup.
Yeah.
You know, it covers, what, 20 years more?
20, 25, I think.
I think it's more. I think it's like 30, 35.
And the guy, they don't, instead of, you know, bad aging makeup, they just don't.
Yeah.
You know, you can use your imagination. Just let it let you go with that.
Yeah, wanted to mention a couple of cast members here that I thought were really good. Jess Weixler plays the female lead, and I believe is it Keith Polson plays mm-hmm. the male lead. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Nick Offerman earlier is a supporting role. Bob Byington is the writer-director. Remember that name? I think we're going to hear a lot more from him in the future. And, of course, many of the other people that you can see their films at the Indie Film Fest.
And by the way, Chris, Jess Weixler, the star of Teeth, which we talked about on the show a couple weeks back.
If you could quickly tell us a little bit about, people want to know more about yep. Indie Film Fest, they want to buy tickets, what do they do, where do they go, who do they call, what website do they look at?
I'm good at that part. You can find everything at indiefilmfest.org, I-N-D-Y, filmfest.org. Once you get there, click on films, you'll see the whole lineup. We use a tool called Festival Genius, which really is a genius. You can jump in, tell it what films you want to see, and it spits out a schedule for when they're playing and how to get to them. You can buy your tickets right online. You can buy them at the door. You can do a single ticket is just $10, so coming out and see a movie. If you're going to do a lot more, you can get a 10-pack and kind of see a lot of films over the course of the week. Or there's an all-access pass, which is $150, and it gets you into everything. You can see unlimited films, go to all the parties, and you get the credentials, your name on it, the whole shebang.
Wow. That's a lot. That is Indie Film Fest this year, starting July 19th and running through the
29th.
So head on over to indiefilmfest.org and check that out. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with reviews of new theatrical releases.
Few releases for this week. As we said, I have not seen any of them, so I'm going to warn you guys, I'm going to spend the rest of the show, at least until the video store opens, comparing these movies to the Friday the 13th series, since it is, of course, Friday the 13th.
We're going to have a little segment on that later, right?
yeah, but I'm gonna break in. And, oh, yeah, that's just like in Friday the 13th Part 5. When, yes.
And thanks to the studios for not screening anything that was coming out this
week. I think you gave me that to watch.
That's not
once.
True.
Yeah, and no. I think you didn't watch it either.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's your loss. Sorry about that.
when did they screen Take This Waltz?
They sent out screeners.
Oh, okay.
Because
I wasn't good enough to get on anywhere.
Some of us don't get on all those fancy lists. Like,
well, why don't we start off
with an influential weekly newspaper that literally dozens of people read?
Don't worry, thousands more pick it up.
All right, well, our first movie, the quote-unquote big movie of the week, is Ice Age Continental Drift. That's right, it's been 10 years since the first one, and they have managed to put out 4 movies in that time, like clockwork. Animated film from Blue Sky Studios, who also made the wonderful Rio from last year. So this is the fourth film in the thing, and I did, in mm-hmm. fact, manage to see it somehow. And I believe we've got a clip of that one. Is that right? Let's take a listen to Ice Age Continental Drift.
I don't think that was you.
My whole familiar.
See? He still hugs his parents.
Ellie! Hold me!
When the world falls apart.
No matter how long it takes, I will find you!
I am
history's greatest heroes.
Granny, you're alive!
Hey, Sydney, this is my first bath in decades.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
We'll keep it together.
My mother once told me that bad news was just good news in disguise.
Was this before she abandoned you?
Yes, it was.
I'll push him overboard. You guys say it was an accident.
I'm in.
This summer...
Battle Station!
Surrender your ship or face my fury.
Two words. Anger management.
The end of the world...
We're all gonna survive this.
Okay, maybe they won't.
...is just the tip of the iceberg.
Hey, little fellas.
How about you and us against the pirates?
You got no idea what I'm saying, do you?
May I try? Wugga, 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 wugga. Booda, 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 booda.
That they got?
Everyone, please, don't panic!
Fire!
No one's gonna stop me from getting back to my family.
Come on, Ocean, is that the best you can do? Holy crap!
Ice Age Continental Drift.
You're pretty soft for a saber.
Excuse me, I happen to be a remorseless assassin.
Diego Poo! Hey, I made you another coral necklace. He keeps losing them.
All right, that's Ice Age Part 8, right?
It seemed like it.
Part too many.
Now, as I mentioned in my review, which you can read on thefilmyap.com. Did I mention thefilmyap.com?
I don't believe you have mentioned thefilmyap.com.
Thefilmyap.com. I was not looking forward to this movie. In fact, I am not sure if I saw the third movie, the last one. Somehow, Manny the Mammoth has acquired a daughter. You know, she's got a little mammothina. I don't remember that happening. The last I remember, he was just trying to get a wife. So I may have actually missed the third one. So whatever that took
You've
away from my experience.
A lot, Chris.
Yeah. All of the unanswered questions from part three are now answered in part four, and a host of new questions.
So, given low expectations, I was pleasantly surprised. It is definitely, you know, low, not necessarily low brow is the right term, but low effort movie making. This is entertainment for small kids. You know, someplace you can take them for, you know, 83 minutes, and they will be sufficiently diverted not to drive mom or dad crazy. But, you know, the craftsmanship, the animation is really good. There's an action sequence right at the beginning as all the continents are sliding around and slamming into each other. That's a lot of fun. Of course, you've got the Scrat, that little squirrel rat-looking guy who's always funny for a laugh.
Is he in the film or just a separate cartoon?
He's actually in it and kind of woven in. He kind of pops up and goes away. Uh-huh. He kind of has a little parallel journey to the main characters with Diego, the saber-toothed tiger, and Sid the sloth.
Now, Diego the saber-toothed tiger, does he steal all of his good jokes from other cartoon characters like Dennis Leary does in real life?
Yes, that could be. Actually, Diego kind of doesn't have a lot to do in this one. He Dennis Leary sounds really bored, as only Dennis Leary really can sound bored. Mm-hmm. Sid is kind of pumped. His character is pumped up in this one. I do want to mention they have a villain in this, and it's a baboon pirate. They ride around on this big iceberg and, you know, attack other critters to take their booty. And of course, I mean, it's the Ice Age. The only thing that's valuable is food. But all through the movie I was watching it, I was trying to figure out who is the voice behind this, the voice actor doing Captain Gut is his name. He's really terrific. He's got a great voice, lots of, you know, power and enunciation, even sings a song, a little clever sea shanty. Very enjoyable. I could not figure it out. I had to go home and look it up. It was Peter Dinklage. And he's did really one of the best voice acting performances I've seen and heard in a while.
Station Agent, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
He's a great, great actor.
Mm-hmm. Terrific.
He is, of course, the angry elf from Elf.
Oh, that's right. Right. Yeah. So, not a great movie, but I was pleasantly surprised in that it's decent enough that if you're going to take the kids to divert them for a while, you could do worse.
Otter, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
All right, our next movie, I did not see.
Nor did I.
It's called, I believe that's why we have Ed Johnson out here to fill in the cracks. Right?
Who has seen all and done all.
Yeah, he is the wise man who sees the movies that everyone else is too afraid to watch.
This thing was screened like years ago.
Oh, yeah. Is this Lola Versus?
Lola Versus. Lola Versus. It's been bumped back a lot of weeks, and I wish they'd bumped it back some more.
Oh, no.
is this a sequel to Run, Lola, Run? And,
yeah.
All I know is we were talking about the sameness.
She's still running.
off air, we were talking about some of the sameness that you can see some of the movies. Greta Gerwig seems to be in the same movie, you know, repeatedly.
Yeah. It's another romance went bad, starting life anew. With all her sarcastic, mordant, wry friends all around her, the only thing that makes this one stand out at all is that it's the characters are a little more annoying than they usually are in these kind of movies. And it's got Hamish Linklater in it, who played Matthew, the brother on New Adventures of Old Christine, which should not have been canceled because it was a fun show.
Listen to that, networks.
And he was in Battleship. And, oh, he was terrible in Battleship.
Well, okay, which part did he play in Battleship?
He was the scientist guy on the island.
He was just
insufferable.
That was a badly written part.
I don't know if anybody could have salvaged that part.
No, that was a badly written movie.
He's fine in this movie. He's probably the best part of this movie. But I think it's just him kind of trying to even up his karma for Battleship.
Okay. I think we do have a clip of Lola Versus.
Oh, no.
It's that bad, ladies and gentlemen.
He wants to veto it, but let's take a listen.
Go.
Dude, you look incredible.
Are you trying to take maid of honor for me?
I feel like Rupert Everett.
Don't we all?
It's a wedding dress! It's a wedding dress!
Honey, you're gonna die when you see these flowers. Honey, what's up? Did you have a stroke?
I don't think I can do this.
Oh, no. I feel like everyone saw it coming but me.
Nobody saw it. It was like lightning.
My world is shattered, and I'm eating. I'm power eating.
How are you doing, sweetie?
I am choosing to be alive.
This is good.
You need to be on your own again. Dating other people, letting them ride your pony, knowing what that feels like.
I didn't want to be a prison architect. That just kind of happened.
That's awesome.
Lola. I was an incubator baby.
What?
The incubator, it made me bigger than the other kids.
Oh. I think men are always looking for someone better, and women are just looking for whatever works.
Have a blessed day. Did you just have sex with that rollerblader?
Being single builds character. Come
in. Is your match.com login still let me be your hole?
Let me be your hole one. It was taken.
Hey! I'm constantly obsessing about everything, food, boys.
I'm so messed up right now.
Get off the stage! Remember how much I loved Cinderella?
It's a classic.
It's what messes little girls up. We all get obsessed with shoes.
Release your emotion. Relax.
Which only Ed saw, and Ed, do you have anything else to say about it other than don't go?
I just hope that everyone was able to make a quick trip to the bathroom or get a glass, something to drink during the break, because God forbid, I actually had to listen to part of that movie.
Wow.
Ed only has thing nothing nice
possibly
to say.
Worse than that could have been actually going to watch the whole thing. Then
it's not. I mean, it's not a horrible movie. It's just the movie, you know, especially when you do what we do. Watching a movie that's so utterly unremarkable.
It's dumb.
And you know that, just millions of dollars have been put out to make this thing. It's irritating.
That's the worst part, those movies that you're just colossally indifferent to.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like, you know, you don't have even have any kind of a strong reaction to it. Then it's hard to, you know, be a guide to the audience and translate
it's dumb.
The experience of, I just didn't care. I mean, it's hard to communicate that to the audience of, like, I just didn't care, and you probably won't either.
I'm just saying, it's snoozable.
In the room here, I'm going to chime in and say, I'm going to go watch this movie and give it a fighting chance, because I'm all for, like, there should be something remarkable in the film, and it should be written well enough to stand on its own and all of those kinds of things. It was co-written at least by Zoe Lister-Jones, who's kind of making a name for herself in the independent film scene herself. Mm-hmm. She had a film a couple years ago, Breaking Upwards, I think it was called. So there's maybe some developing talent in there. Maybe there's something promising in what's to come from stories like this or that sort of thing. But I bet there's a sliver of an audience out there for it.
Oh, sure. You know, yeah, I'm just giving my Yeah. My point of view. Yeah. Have you seen Safety Not Guaranteed?
I have seen Safety Not Guaranteed.
See, I love that movie.
I have seen Safety Not Guaranteed. That is, I would agree that having not seen Lola Versus, I can strongly recommend Safety Not Guaranteed.
All right, and our last new movie coming out, which also none of us have seen except for Ed, is called Take This Waltz. We don't have a clip of this one, but it's also a kind of a smaller independent film, but starring, I think, some names that you might have heard of. So, Ed, if you could tell us a little bit about
it. Well, first, let me act out the clip.
Oh, no, I'm at this historic reenactment in Montreal, and it's about adulterers being punished for their ways. Wow, that seems like it could be significant later. Oh, look at that man over there. He seems so such a wise. I could never like him.
No, you couldn't. But I, you know what? You look vaguely familiar to me.
Why, you look familiar to me, too.
Let's get on our plane and go home. Why, we're on the same plane.
Oh, no, we're taking the same cab.
Oh, my God, we live across the street from each other.
Oh, what will happen next?
So, take this waltz and shove it.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the deal with Take This Waltz. Oh, what's her name? She did Away
Michelle
from...
Williams.
No, Sarah Polley.
Sarah Polley.
Oh, the director.
It's her second film. Mm-hmm. The impression I get is that she spent most of her time working on specific scenes in the film and coming up with some great scenes. But she wasn't working so much on the flow of the total film. She was working more on impressing other people. Now, this is going to sound like I'm slamming the film, but
it's dumb.
It's like your little 5-year-old kid that's showing off at a party, and you want him to quit it, but he won't. And damn, he is cute. That's what's going on here. Only I was really glad I saw it, and I watched it a second time, and was glad I saw it the second time.
Wow.
You know, the good parts are really good. I like Michelle Williams a lot. Seth Rogen's very good. The guy who played the male voice, I can't remember his name, but
yeah,
you know,
it's not a lot of good hella stuff bad.
Now, as the only woman, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
There's a scene, a really, really good scene, where a group of women, after doing an exercise class in a pool, discuss life while they're in the shower, and everyone's nude, and it's all full frontal and stuff. And there's three, like, younger women are Michelle Williams' age, and there's three older women who are much larger.
Okay,
and they have a really good conversation and a really good scene.
Sure.
Now, I think all four, five of guys in the room right now can tell you that this would never happen with guys in a million years under any circumstances, period. Even if they were brothers, it would never happen. Yeah. Would that happen with women? Are they that comfortable with their bodies?
Are they that chatty when it's supposed to be about hygiene?
I mean, if they're exercise buddies and they're finishing up, and I could see it.
Okay.
I could see it. Mm-hmm.
And again, the scene works so great that, you know, that's just something in the back of your mind. You're going, huh?
But you guys are all more fascinated by anything that you see than we are. Like, we see it every day, so.
Okay. And the larger women would be as completely unselfconscious, too?
Probably more so.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. That's the world we don't live in, you guys.
Yeah.
This peek into female psychology
brought
to you by.
Wow. Men are too busy covering up the things we're ashamed of.
For no particular reason.
Yeah.
That is really funny. I think what's important, though, is regardless of, you know, what you think, like, wait, would that really happen? Like, in the film, it sounds like it rings true. Like, she's able to deliver it in a way that you don't sort of leave going, wait, why did that? It's like watching an Aaron Sorkin where they literally walk down the hallway and then walk back just so they can have the scene. You know, there's no other reason for them to move. But if she can carry off the scene and you don't, that doesn't even occur to you. Like, oh, wait, they were just post-workout, you know, the scene is what elevates. I think that's more of a testament.
And Michelle Williams is so good at playing introspective women that suffer mightily but do it with dignity, and she does that again here. She does it so well that, I mean, what we're dealing with is a successful marriage and she's married to a wonderful man. They have all the love and all the romance, or all the playfulness and all the tenderness you would have in a marriage. The passion is lacking. And she's considering, you know, this flirtatious guy that she met in another city that happened to live across the street from her. Anyway.
We remember the clip.
Sarah's not. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're disappointed. So basically what we have is a woman considering the notion of leaving her husband when her husband's a wonderful man. That's not a sympathetic character on paper, but boy, Michelle Williams sells it. She just sells it. So I would recommend this movie.
Okay. So what will we say about this one then?
Oh, man. I was...
we'll go.
Now that was a good
movie. That was
movie.
A good movie. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Right. Well, there we go. Well, that's new movies for this week. Why don't we take a short break?
Very
and
short.
Then we'll be back with the video store. You're listening to Film Sociology, a show here on WFYI HD to the Point.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Before we get into the video store, if you are not up for seeing a new release and the Indie Film Fest kicks off next week, we're still a week away, Midnight Movies at the Keystone Landmark rolls on this week with Fight Club, and tonight at the IMA, 9:30, is Alien.
Wow. And we'd do something on Fight Club, except the first rule is you're not supposed to talk about Fight Club.
Right. So, yeah, you know.
So, video store.
Video store. It's open. Yeah, we have kind of a smaller kind of smattering of things opening this week.
July has been a mite slow for video releases.
That's the nice way of saying it. The major release is American Reunion. Which part is, or do we count the straight to video, or is this part four?
We're calling it the fourth one. I think there was three other straight to video American Pie movies.
Yeah, although Eugene Levy, I think, was in at least a couple of them.
I think he was in all of them. Actually, yeah. He's the C-3PO of the American Pie series. Exactly. He's in them all.
Yeah. So this one brings back all the originals, even Chris Klein, and I think one of the others was not. One of the women was not in the third one. And there's a reference to that in the movie.
Right.
Of course, all of our characters are doing their thing. They're all pretty much the same people. Jim and Michelle are married. Jim is Jason Biggs. Michelle is Allison Hannigan. They have lost a little of the spark in their marriage. They have a baby. And they all get together for, are you ready for this, their 13th high school reunion.
Wow. It was supposed to have been the 10th, but someone spaced and forgot.
Yeah, so. They forgot for 3 years. Well, let's just do it tomorrow.
Yes, and it's basically a reunion to say that, all of our careers have gone down the toilet except for Allison Hannigan, and we'd like some money, and here we go. And I think we do have a clip of this one, don't we?
Yeah.
American Reunion.
Here we go. I don't see nothing wrong.
One of these days, he's going to be able to go to bed on his own, right?
Ladies, better be working hard. You weren't hired for your looks. Actually, you were. Not you.
Dinner smells great. And don't forget, we still have to watch Real Housewives.
Hey, Kev, you know who my favorite housewife is? You. The reunion. You in? Seems like everyone's actually going.
Hey, guys! You made it!
What's up, class of 99ers?
We're gonna party together?
Hell yeah.
Just like old times. Let's make this reunion our bitch.
Cheers!
You're a lucky man, Oz.
Hey, guys, do you need a stare?
Yes. Yes, we do need a stare.
Looks like a high school party.
With high school chicks.
I love the Twilight books. New Moon is my favorite.
Mine too.
Oh my God, it's like
We have so much in common.
Can I tell you how exciting it is to see all you kids back in town?
You know, Dad, it's been 3 years. Do you think maybe it's time for you to get back out there?
Have a shot.
Oh, no. I don't think so, Steven. I'm not,
Drink it.
American Reunion. Who might you be?
I'm Stifler's mom.
Oh, I'm Jim's dad.
So there you go. This is basically, if you've seen the other ones, you just plug in, you know, said point in their lives. Jim inexplicably is humiliated in some sort of sexual fashion. He gets caught doing things, and things get smashed and poked and exposed. And
although Joe and I are having a discussion before the show about whether it was actual or stunt unit.
Yeah,
it was actual.
It was actual.
Okay, there's on a talk show and discuss that.
There is a scene where, if you were into such things, there is a bit of Jason Biggs male as opposed to Jason Biggs female, full frontal nudity, partially obscured, but you see all of the various naughty bits there.
What's the device, or what's the object that does the obscuring?
It's a glass, like the lid of a pot.
That's right.
So it's transparent, and they give you the real brief 2-second close up of it, you know, to make sure.
And that was 1.9 seconds too long.
Yeah, yeah. So you have all the various characters. You have Thomas Ian Nicholas, who was now has a beard. That's his big character thing. Now I have a beard. No, he's
dumb.
Married to someone else, and he runs into his old flame, and there's all these old emotions.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a paint-by-number script. I mean, you can sort of just say, hey, let's bring them back together after a few years, and what would the different tensions and plots be? And literally, you could write this movie yourself.
Yeah.
It's not horrible. I would say there's probably 2 or 3 good laughs in it, but...
So I'm going to age myself here in that I was either just graduating or had just graduated or something when the very first... came out, and American Pie, and like it was our big chill, it was our, you know, whatever. it was our ensemble comedy,
first movie, and even I would say even into the second, a little bit of the third, there was some genuine smarts there.
There was some
genuine emotion, genuine tenderness between the Jason Biggs character and Eugene Levy. I mean, I will defend at least the first movie.
Yeah. And if what their goal has been to sort of age that up with, like, my generation, I don't know if that's the right word, but sort of my time frame, my moment in time with the timing of these movies, they have failed, honestly. Like, there's nothing in American Reunion that makes me think, that's exactly the kind of movie I want to go back and follow up with these characters again, because they're at the same point in my life as, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They've not succeeded well in that.
Yeah, and the first one, I would agree, especially, it kind of changed the way movies of that type were made.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It pushed the envelope as far as the raunch and
character.
And there was actual character there. And these, now at this point, it's just kind of spinning its wheels. It's kind of the same old stuff. And some of the stuff that was really funny for, say, a high school student, for a grown person, is just kind of creepy.
Exactly.
And it's kind of sad and depressing in a way.
And in that first film, that pie scene, I can't go into any detail here, but that wouldn't work. I mean, even if it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
That's that, you know, I mean, how do you do a comedy, a whole sequence based on something that is impossible?
Well, there's one of those moments in all of the films.
Yeah.
And this one, they almost replicate the one, I think the second one was where he uses super glue. He actually super glues certain parts of his anatomy to other parts of his anatomy. And of course, ends up in front of the police.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah, and there's a similar thing here with involving a laptop and internet pornography and a sock and his son.
We don't need to know him anymore.
And we've said enough.
Really good. This is refreshing public radio.
And it somehow doesn't come off anywhere near as edgy or funny as any of those original scenes.
No, it's just, I mean, it's the bump in the storyline they have to do each one of these movies. And you recognize it coming, and it's like, oh, here we go.
But one thing I will say they do well is they kind of flip the Jim and Jim's dad scenario just a little bit. And there's kind of a neat little moment where Jim is actually giving his dad
advice.
Kind of romantic advice, or, you know, advice of that nature, you know.
And that was kind of a nice little touch. But, I mean, for the most part, it's just,
If given that the DVD releases are kind of slim, there's a movie called The Guard with Brendan Gleeson and Don Cheadle that's out on DVD. And it's a quirky comedy with a real edge to it. But the reason I'm bringing it up right now is because it being on DVD and Blu-ray, it's subtitled. And with the very, very thick Irish accents, this gives you an opportunity to enjoy a really good film that flew under the radar that might have been too... Where you might have skipped it because the accents were too thick. Now you can just flip on the closed captioning and catch everything.
Yeah.
And I would strongly recommend The Guard with Brendan Gleeson and Don Cheadle.
Okay. We'll just quickly jump through some of the other video releases this week. Like I say, it's pretty low-key. Being Flynn, which is kind of a comedy drama with Robert De Niro and Paul Dano that I'm not sure if it got any kind of a theatrical release, certainly not here in Indianapolis. I believe the story is a guy who works in a homeless shelter comes across a homeless guy who turns out to be his dad.
Yeah.
We should also mention Flowers of War, which is a Chinese movie starring Christian Bale about the early days of the war between Japan and the invasion of Japan into China in 1937.
And he talks like this.
And then I'm not sure if he does.
Is he still not wearing hockey pants?
The only thing I can tell you about Flowers of War, I remember Christian Bale got in some sort of trouble with the Chinese government while he was over there shooting it.
Christian Bale doesn't get in trouble.
He doesn't?
He's so mild-mannered.
Yeah. Yeah. he just beats people down who get in his way.
No.
They're trouble. No. He just dishes out punishment and continues.
Well, he's not a Ryan Gosling. He can't just whip out the, hey, girl, get out of trouble that way. Should mention briefly Senna, which is a documentary about the deceased race car driver. I never saw this, but I know a bunch of people in the Indianapolis Film Journalists Association did. Spoke very highly of it, and I think it was actually pushed for Best Documentary of the Year. Did either of you guys see Senna?
No.
I have not, but I've similarly heard lots of good things about it.
It has
critically
been at the top of my Netflix recommends for you for a while now. So
yeah.
I've had one of these in August, maybe.
I'll go in and watch.
So I think that's it for the video store, so we're gonna close it on up get into our raising of the glass to people who have passed on in the last week or so. We mentioned Dolphy, who's the Filipino king of comedy. I think he was in an American movie or two. Isuzu Yamada, a Japanese actress notable for appearing in a lot of Akira Kurosawa films, I think in the 1940s and 50s. We did want to mention, talk a little bit about Ernest Borgnine, who I jokingly put something on Twitter, I think about it, was he the ugliest movie star of all time? I did mean that in jest, in that obviously... He was, especially the time he came out, I think 1955 with Marty was when he really broke out as a movie star. Very atypical guy, both in terms of looks and voice and attitude, to be a movie star in mid-century Hollywood. What do you guys want to say about Ernest Borgnine?
You know, the last time he made news was his very public refusal to even as an Academy member, to even watch Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And he followed it up with some real ugly gay slurs.
Yeah, that was kind of an unfortunate way to go out, at least in most people's memory of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember him, if this helps you any, Ed, I remember him best from Basketball. from Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the South Park guys, as the owner of the Milwaukee Beers, and he actually has a speaking of it, it's kind of funny that he objects to that because he actually has a scene where he, was the early part of this century or this part of early part of maybe the last decade, he has a scene where he opens his shirt and rubs oil on himself, makes a few kind of borderline lewd comments in reference to Trey Parker's character. Maybe is a bit ironic. But
you film buffs that are out there right now that are just banging your head against your car dashboard, yes, we do know the films he's been in that he was a remarkably talented actor.
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
Basketball and his bigotry are not the only things we're thinking of.
Yeah.
Go see Marty if you haven't. It's one of those films that kind of its reputation hasn't held up over the years. It hasn't maintained as high a profile as other films. I believe one best picked the best Academy Award Best Picture for 1955. I believe Borgnine won Best Actor, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. It beat Saving Private Ryan, man.
Yeah. And it
was up against Saving Private Ryan that year.
It's a wonderful little movie, a little character study. Literally, just you know, three or four characters, you know, in the whole movie. So go check out Marty, if for no other reason to see about Ernest Borgnine. I think we just got word not too long ago about the passing of Richard D. Zanuck, very well known producer. Lots of big movies, high profile types of movies. Did a lot of Steven Spielberg's early stuff, Jaws. In the 80s, he did Cocoon, Driving Miss Daisy. He did Rush in the 1990s, Mulholland Falls. Then he kind of got into with Tim Burton, did Planet of the Apes and Big Fish, Sweeney Todd, Alice in Wonderland, Dark Shadows. Anybody want to say anything more about Richard D. Zanuck?
He had a legendary mustache.
I interviewed him. Help me with the title. Tom Hanks, gangster film with Tom Hanks and Paul Newman.
Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition.
Yeah.
Very good. Love that movie.
I interviewed him with that. And guys like him don't do, you know, press junkets normally. Mm-hmm. But he did, and he was really fun. Yeah, I mean, the guy had, you know, look at his background. He had a million things to draw stories from. Mm-hmm. You know, and he didn't do this all the time, so he wasn't just churning out the same greatest hits kind of stories. Yeah. So just sitting back and listening to the anecdotes from this guy were wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, nice man.
Yeah. All right, and I believe we're going to got just a few minutes left. Joe is going to do a little segment here about the auspicious date that we're currently on.
Yeah, I didn't get to pepper my Friday the 13th comments in. Yeah, it is that day, of course, the iconic slasher franchise. If you have not gotten any Facebook images kind of floating around with Jason Voorhees on it, you should, you know, go post one yourself. watch a movie tonight or two involving a hockey mask. You know, it's what fun is the day without that?
Good segment, Joe.
Thank you. That's it.
I was ready for like analysis, and over the years it's changed.
Well, I mean,
Come on, Joe, you didn't see any movies.
Well,
come on.
Cough it up, man.
Called out on film sociology.
Well, I mean, what's your guys' favorite Friday the 13th?
Oh, there's an easy pass. Huh?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I have my own favorites, and
honestly, I was saying before the show, I don't think I saw past the third or maybe the fourth. I think I did see the reboot when they paired him up with Freddy from the
The Freddy vs. Jason ones.
Nothing like a war between two characters that can't be killed.
I don't know. They were like the first iteration of the Batman movies. You know, it was one of the things. It was one thing. It was genuinely scary, and then, you know, it quickly became like, you know, self-parody, and then it just became tiresome and. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure. I mean, how many have they had now? 12?
There are 11 counting the remake, the Michael Bay remake a couple of years back.
Well, you mean there's a possibility we're only two films away from Friday the 13th, the 13th.
Yes.
Oh, wow. My God.
Why have they not done that?
And they have to like look up when the next Friday the 13th is.
Yeah, so they can release it on that. Yeah, it's, you know, it's to a lot of people kind of the face of what's wrong with Hollywood. And to me, it's, you know, there's so much that's right with all those. It's so stupid and so campy and so fun.
It teaches young people not to have sex or take drugs.
Exactly right. I always thought
you'll
it was,
be killed.
Yeah, that's. I always thought it was ironic.
So it's like Jerry Falwell's Moral Majority was secretly funding all these movies.
Yeah, that's the thing I always wondered was, why do these conservative religious groups always slam on this? This all this does is espouse conservative values. Don't drink, don't have premarital sex. You know, you got to stay a virgin forever, or you'll die. And
maybe this show will prompt Focus on Family to invest the money to make Friday the 13th 13th.
I sure hope so.
I did want to mention a little tie-in there with the movie Alien, which we mentioned before, is showing tonight at the Indianapolis Museum of Art's Summer Movie Nights. If you go to their website, you can read a blog by moi about Alien, which I tied together the slasher films of the late 70s and early 80s with Alien, in that basically what I said was, I love the first movie, Alien, from 1979, but people talk about it as this like great, pure act of creation, just so original, and just came out of left field, and it No, that's not what it is at all. It was director Ridley Scott literally said he was getting set up to make Tristan and Isolde a period costume drama and said, saw Star Wars and said, I got to get me on this space adventure bandwagon.
Hey.
And then they just sort of slapped it together with the slasher movies and came up with, you know, horror movie in space. And that's what it is. Not to say it isn't great, but anyway, check out the movie, check out the blog, and of course, check out Indianapolis Film Festival.
Yes, IndieFilmFest.org, July 19th. I know where all of you will be next week. What movies you will be seeing.
Also, NouveauNewsWeekly.net, is that right?
Probably.
Something like that. Nouveau News Weekly on newsstands and street corners near you. And TheFilmYap.com, TheFilmYap.com, TheFilmYap.com.
And that's Film Sociology. We'll see you next week, and Matt will be back.